Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman. Alongside me as ever, Steve Harmison. Looking back at all the action, what was possible on a rainy day too in Gore? First test match between Sri Lanka and England. Plenty to talk about though. You're listening to the Following On podcast. Well, thanks for subscribing or downloading or listening to your mate's copy of this. If you are listening, you will by now know that England ended day two 320 for 4, so that's a lead of 185 runs. We didn't get a lot of overs today. How much did we get? We got 53 overs, but there was more than enough. Joe Root easing through the gears, a sparkling debut from Dan Lawrence, and really a couple of days more toil, really, for Sri Lanka's batsmen and bowlers ahead of them, you'd have to think, unless the rain can come to their aid. Still, lots to chat about with Steve Harmison. So let's get underway with Story of the Day.
Story of the Day.
So, Harmy, no real doubt, as per yesterday, what the story of the day. Yesterday, 12 wickets. Today, just 2. And the reason for that, some proper test match batting, really. Actually, no, it was more than that. Joe Root, first century of 2021. It's been well documented that he didn't manage a century in 2020. But he just looked class today, didn't he? Do you know what he looked like? I said this to you off air a few hours ago. He looked like a guy who'd actually had a bit of a rest. And and I think he needed one.
Yeah, he needed one. He needed, you know, some time to probably reevaluate where his thoughts are and his goals to move into 2021. And if he didn't get a century in 2020, fingers crossed he's been saving them for 2021, because I think you've mentioned it at some point on TalkSport today. This will define his captaincy the year 2021 because of India away, India at home, and then Australia. And what you need as a captain, you need, if you're a bat, especially as a batsman, you need runs behind you and a bit of confidence and going in, because your decision making is a lot easier when you're in a good place. And I'm not gonna criticize the bowling too much, because I think it was a class performance. I thought Joe Root made the bowlers bowl the way they did, which was, you know, it wasn't probably up to a level of test match standard. But all in all, I thought Joe Root was magnificent. Yesterday, I talked about his ability to manipulate the field and get position people, players or fielders in positions where he can hit boundaries. And that's what he did today very, very well again. He moved the field to where he wanted to be. And I thought from 100 to 150, it was no time at all. It was the old Joe Root, and fingers crossed that comes back, because, boy, if England are going to have a good 2021, they're going to need their captain to score a boatload of runs.
It was a brilliant knock, chanceless knock. There was one close shout for leg before wicket, which if the umpire had given it on field, it would have been, he would have been out, the ball hitting in just marginally in line. But apart from that, as I say, chanceless. And he's got a real chance, not just to reach a double ton, but post his top score, because England have still got 6 wickets left, no time pressure whatsoever, unless maybe day 3 and 4 get washed out. He could go past his test best, which is 257, I think. But as brilliant as a knock as it was, and it was a top knock, the paucity of the bowling and the inexperience of the bowling. If you look down the bowling list, Sri Lanka used five bowlers. Now, Dilawan Pereira actually bowled really nicely 3 years ago. He's been disappointing. He's played 41 tests, but Mbaldinia has played a handful of tests. Asitha Fernando, this is his second test. De Silva, this is his third test. And, you know, Shanaka's a bit of a part-timer. He hasn't played a lot of cricket either. Look, it's not a stellar bowling lineup by any stretch of the imagination. Although, and this was a point made by, I think, Tim Wigmore in the Daily Telegraph, it did show that whilst Joe Root's batting may have declined in terms of the numbers, the captaincy may have weighed on him. When it comes to playing spin, he's the man still, isn't he?
Absolutely is the man. And I think there has been a lot of the world on his shoulders when it comes to the captaincy, when it comes to the way England have been over the course of the last 2 years. You think from 2018, sort of end of 2018 through 2019, through 2020, what with COVID and stuff like that, and then the World Cup year, Ashes year. There's a lot to take in that for you as an England captain. Even though he wasn't captain of the World Cup side, he was still heavily involved and he was still a key member and a key cog in that wheel that went on to win the World Cup. So he did need a bit of a break. It has been a barren spell when it comes to hundreds, but not run scoring. You know, this guy scores a lot of 50s. He hasn't been able to convert into the hundreds, you would say, the likes of, you know, Kevin Peterson did, or Sir Alistair Cook did, or like Graham Gooch before them. But even tell, his numbers still stack up. He's still one of the best players of all time from an England point of view. And, you know, when it comes to playing spin, yes, you can say the bowling wasn't great. But at the end of the day, if it was in England, you know, you could say, you know, the English conditions suited and, you know, a bit cold. This is in 30 degrees heat, humidity quite high, turning pitches in Sri Lanka, not played for a while. For me, this is a fantastic knock. And it's up there. Probably not as good as Thorpe's in 2001. And my best in Sri Lanka is Peterson in Colombo. But it's right up there with as good as innings as anybody's played in England colours over in Sri Lanka, no matter who was bowling.
It does matter who's bowling, though, doesn't it? I mean, you know, if Murali's bowling, is Joe Root acting quite as comfortable? If Harath's bowling, is Joe Root quite as comfortable? I mean, it does matter, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes and no. I think yes, because obviously the level of the opposition, you would be asked more questions. But at the end of the day, you'd still have to find the answers. And the way, for me, the way Joe's movements back and forward, his decision-making, whether to go all the way forward or go all the way back, they were still there. So no matter who's bowling, whether Murali's bowling, whether Harath's bowling, you know, any indecisions, that's what you're looking for. I didn't see any indecisions in the way Joe Root played. I seen a little bit in Johnny Bairstow. I seen a little bit in a great debut knock for Dan Lawrence. And I seen quite a bit when Josh Butler went in. Didn't see any of that with Joe Root. Joe Root went all the way forward when he was defending. He went all the way forward when he was sweeping. And he went all the way back when he was trying to manipulate the strike and move the ball through the offside between sort of cover and cover point and using the sort of square leg gap to get off strike and off singles. I thought Joe Root's balance and all-round demeanour would have took on any one of the spinners from around the world on that sort of surface. And I still think Joe Root, because of the way he went about his job and how comfortable he looked, I still think he would have gotten a three-figure score.
And what about Dan Lawrence then? Because, you know, comes into the side, didn't have the greatest day yesterday on debut. I know that, of course, any day you make your debut for England is a good day. But he dropped the catch, didn't get to bat, probably would have been sitting there for a good hour towards the end of play, hour and a half, when Bairstow and Root were at the crease expecting to go on and bat. And that must have been a bit weird because he must have psyched himself up. The adrenaline's going. He's getting nervous. And if he'd gone in with a score 17 for three, you know, actually the pressure would have been off a little bit in a perverse kind of way, because whatever happens, you're going to be okay. A bit like when Michael Vaughan went to the crease with England, what was it, 2 for 4? But that didn't happen. So then it would have come down again off the back of the day. But he came out this morning very early on. He got off the mark. First ball, second ball he hit for four. fourth ball hit to mid on. So he played three different shots in four balls. He was on six not out. And there's a couple of half chances, a catch at gully, but you know, he'd already gone past 50 by that point. A missed stumping. He maybe got a little bit tired towards the end of the innings. It must take it out of you, you know, to be batting in these conditions and in international cricket. But, you know, Joe Root on debut scored 73. And Dan Lawrence did the same today. I thought it was an impressive knock, that's for sure.
Absolutely. I thought he was fantastic. I'm so pleased for the man. I'm chuffed to bits for the kid, because what he's done is he's given himself a chance. He's not put himself under pressure. Yeah, everybody drops a catch. He's probably, the way the catch came to him, he probably caught it three times before it actually hit his hands, because it just looped at him. I think they'd come a little bit flatter and a bit quicker. Instinctively, he would have just grabbed it and it would have been not a problem. And then, you know, this morning, he couldn't have gotten off to a better start, really, could he? Given a buffy ball, second ball, hit it for four. He's a confident lad anyway. So, you know, an ideal opportunity to make big runs. Got 73, and I thought he looked competent. I thought he looked comfortable. I thought he looked very, very good on the back foot. He'd give himself some time. This guy's a big lad. He's a tall guy with a long reach. He wasn't really lunging forward. Possibly seen the mistake that Johnny Bairstow made when Johnny lunged forward and nicked it to Mendes. It slipped. But you know, for me, I was really pleased for him. I'm proud that a good young Englishman has stood up in tough, trying conditions, made his debut, got a score on the board, and he's going to hopefully put the pressure back on the selectors to say, you can't drop me. You can't drop me. We're going to India. No matter how tough it's going to be, fair enough, you've got Stokes, you've got Pope. Rory Burns made a decision not to go. Could that come back to haunt him? For me, Dan Lawrence has given himself a good chance. I like the kid's temperament. I like his confidence and what I've seen first innings, because you're never sure in test match cricket whether somebody's good enough. You can say as much as you want how good they are in first class cricket. Till they get the cauldron, till they get into the arena, then you see what they're sort of mentally they're made of. First, so far, so good, and signs are good. So, you know, well done to Darren. Well done to Dan Lawrence on his debut. Well done on his 73. Just a little sample size of what's to come. And if that's the case, you know, he's got a bright future, the kid from Essex.
Yeah, I think we will hold judgment in some regard. The beauty of cricket is that you do have to play in lots of different places, different climates, different pitches, different attacks. And you know, what he's come up against in his first day will not be mirrored at the end of the year if he's in the side, that's for sure. But I was impressed. And the thing that impressed me, I think, was the fact that he was outscoring Joe Root for up until tea. And Joe seemed to, you know, just go into his shell a little bit. And it was Dan Lawrence who was actually more of the aggressor, not in a flighty kind of way, not in a risk-taking kind of way. But yeah, I was really impressed by Dan Lawrence today, and look forward to seeing how it goes in the future.
I actually think that helped Joe that during that passage of play. Bear in mind, we're coming off the back of a whole day's cricket yesterday where Joe batted for a long, long time. And sometimes when you're batting in partnerships, you do need a little downtime, a little spell where you just get me away from strike for a little bit. If a bowler's got the top of me, or if I'm flagging a little bit, just keep me off strike for a bit. You know, you take a boatload of the balls, you take a boatload of the risk, you try and, you know, up the scoring rate if you need to, but I'm just going to sit in here. I'm going to absorb maybe two or three balls and over, get me breath back, get me second wind charge, and then I'm going to go again. The scoring rate didn't drop. The intensity still kept up going. Because England on the lead, you're looking to enforce the game and take the game away from the opposition. And I thought at an early year, infancy in his career, young man, I thought he did. I thought he took the pressure off Joe Root in the middle there, and I thought he did very, very well. Another tick in the positive box.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Moment of the day.
Well, there are a few moments of the day today. One of them will wait for lull of the day. It does involve who, for me, is fast turning out to be the man of the series. But, I don't know, Harvey. Let's start with a couple of the moments. Look, Joe Root reaching a century, of course, and 150. Dan Lawrence reaching 50. Joe Root was 99 at lunch, wasn't he? But came out and just reached three figures without any real fuss. There was a quite painful moment late in the day. Kusal Mendes, who's had a horror game so far, he put down a chance of Dan Lawrence. He was out for naught, his fourth naught in a row. They call him Aldi, all of that. But he was fielding at short leg and Pereira was bowling. And Joe Root has been so proficient on the sweep. He caned him three times in one over. The last one, bang on the shoulder bone, and Joe Root and the whole team just went to surround him, see if he was okay, and he wasn't. He went off the field. I'm sure he will be okay. But yeah, that's when you're like, that if he doesn't have Pereira up by his throat in the changing room right now, then I don't know, he's a better man than me, because he was getting absolutely peppered.
Yeah, he was, and it was. It's one of them ones where it's like a batsman getting hit in the box. Yeah, it's funny for everybody else apart from the subject that it's actually been hit. He got one right on the back of the hand. Physio comes out, puts a bit of tape on, bit of spray. 2 seconds later, he gets a bang, bounce off onto the helmet. That goes up. A little fist pump by the England captain, Joe Root. He says, sorry, are you all right? The very next ball, whack. And that was the painful one. Right on the shoulder bone. Right on the point of the bone. And you're thinking, that has got to hurt. And I think in the end, Mendes, he didn't wave the physio on. He told the physio to stay off because he was coming towards him. I'm not fielding here no more. Somebody else can do it. This guy's in too much, having too much of fun. And the bowler's not bowling great lines and length. So it was one of the moments of the day. The other one was, you learn something new every day. I couldn't believe. I thought I was on breakfast this morning, seeing this decision by DRS. Mickey Arthur's face, well, we'll come on to Mickey Arthur in a minute, but the way he's been a jumpy jack throughout this whole 2 days of a test match. But I thought it was out. I thought Joe Root's out. Gone for the sweep, under-edged it, hit the ground, bounced up off his glove, into short leg's hand, on the full, catch, thanks very much, see you later, Joe Root, off you go. Simple decision for the umpire. Umpire's not so sure, gives it the third umpire, goes to DRS. I'm expecting, not a problem. Well, I've been doing the breakfast show, which is predominantly football, and VAR and football has been a disgrace throughout this season at Stockley Park. And I actually thought the DRS had come from Stockley Park, because I thought, what's he doing? He's giving it not out. It's got to be out. It's bounced off the glove. I just thought, once he's seen the under edge, it's gone towards the ground. And the third umpire's looking, he's looking if the ball's hit the foot or it's hit the ground. And he's not seen the ball hit the glove and it's gone straight up in the air. And I think he's thinking, oh, well, it's hit the ground. It's not out. But actually, the rule is that if the ball hits the bat, hits the ground, then that deems the ball to have hit the ground. So no matter where else it hits, it can't be out. So having played the game for so long, you learn something new every day. But it was quite farcical because Mickey Arthur, he was, if he thought Shrank had a bad day and you could read lips and the expletives that was coming out of him yesterday, well, he wasn't best pleased our third umpire on that decision.
Lol of the day.
that brings us quite nicely to lull of the day, because certainly we made mention of it yesterday, the camera panning to Mickey Arthur when Joe Root somewhat hopefully went for a DRS when given out on field leg before wicket. The ball shown to be just travelling over middle stump. Well, today he's the man of the series. I tell you, every time something happens, cameras pan up to Mickey. I mean, there's nothing else to look at, is there? There is just Mickey Arthur. There's no fans in the ground. And as you may mention, that DRS, just to show, I wasn't sure. I was getting the text from Andrew McKenna going, how can anyone not know that? I was like, well, Harmy didn't. He played 15 years. I wasn't sure about it either. So it is the beauty of the great game that we're still learning these things after all these years. But Mickey Arthur, he didn't know the law either. He stormed off to the third ump. How on earth was that not given out? And you could see the umpire going, well, it hit the floor. And then Mickey Arthur going, oh, is that the law, is it? And the umpire going, yes, that's the law. And then Mickey Arthur went back. But even amongst that, apart from that, George DeBell tweeted something. If only the Sri Lankan batsman had shown as much resistance as Mickey Arthur's shorts. And you can see why they are. They're short shorts, aren't they? And Mickey Arthur, he's a comfortably sized man, sitting up there in the gods, watching down. But he's certainly provided more than enough laugh-out-loud moments today, yesterday, and no doubt for the rest of this series.
Yeah, and he'll be very, very upset about the way his team's performed as well when it comes down to what's going on, what's happened so far in the series. Not to forget the run-out chance between Sibley and Crawley. He did a few laps of the pavilion balcony there. And I think if you go on energies exerted throughout this test match so far, I think Mickey Arthur will have exerted a lot more energy than one or two of them Sri Lankan players, because the batsmen didn't really score any runs. And the bowlers haven't performed. And when you look at it, England decided not to have warm-up games. And I just wonder if this is the right decision now, that they didn't have any warm-up games going into this series. Because if you had wasted the energy going into the warm-up games and then played this cricket, then have to go to India and what's coming out throughout the summer. So I think you've got to take your hats off. It was a gamble by the ECB, but it's a gamble that seems to be paying off, because another 10 days on this trip, playing against lesser opposition, arguably will possibly be a waste of time. I know we've only 2 days into a test match, but the way things are looking so far, this is probably a very, very good warm-up for what is going to be a big series against India.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
Day three ahead of us. I'm not even going to bother looking at the weather forecast, Harmy. I never, ever believe the weather forecast. I imagine, as it's Sri Lanka, the weather forecast will say it's going to rain, going to be sunny, it's going to be cloudy, and there's going to be thunderstorms, and all of those things will probably be true. Let's imagine that we get 60 overs on day three. Look, I can't see England racking up 600 on this track. There is a little bit of bounce, there's certainly turn that can only you'd imagine get worse. It was more pronounced on day two than on day one. Batting last on that track, or rather when Sri Lanka come out to bat with a deficit of anything between 300 and 400. I know we're living in a world where we wrote off India and look what's happened over in Australia, but it's going to be difficult for Sri Lanka to make a game of this unless the weather really does get involved.
Yeah, I don't see there being any other outcome than England winning this test match. It'll be interesting to see how long England want to bat for, and whether they want to try and get another bat in this game for the top order players in Crawley and Sibley. But I think they'll be as professional as they possibly can, try and get as many as they can. But I agree, I don't think this batting unit's got 600 in it. I think even though they have been poor, Sri Lanka, when it comes to the bowling department. Well, the all-round department, but bowling department, I still think they get one more wicket, turn and bounce and turn and pierce on a pitch, then I think they'd knock England's tail over relatively easily. So I'd love to think Josh Butler will get runs. I'd love to think if Josh Butler does get runs, Joe Root gets through the first sort of 20 minutes of that getting in period of a new day, then I can only see the England captain going on and scoring a big double 100. Josh Butler getting some confidence for the 2021 calendar year to start, and then England potentially having a 300-run lead, 200-run, 300-run lead, and bowl Sri Lanka out. And if they get more than 60 overs, finish tomorrow. If they don't get more than 60 overs, then come back the following day. Whether they try and manipulate and manufacture another bat for themselves, I think that would be dangerous. That would mean England having to declare in another 60 runs time, hoping that Sri Lanka could potentially get 200-300, which gives England a 50-60 run chase, which will give more time in the middle. I don't think they'll want to go down that road. I think they'll want to win emphatically. And the way England are going so far, I can only see the captain getting a double 100 and England winning by an innings.
Brilliant stuff, Army. Well, look, we'll be back tomorrow on day 3, whatever happens. And throughout this test match, as we begin the build-up, really, to the India series, I know we're more than committed to this two-test series between Sri Lanka and England. But it's a little bit like when England toured the last two series tour of Asia, when Bats was playing Bangladesh for two tests and then over to India, really, really licking our lips, especially as the Australia-India series is just coming to its conclusion. I'm not sure what side India are going to be able to put out for that first test, by the way. We shall see. Anyway, thanks for listening to the Following On podcast. Harmy, I'll chat to you tomorrow. You can subscribe and review to the Following On podcast on Acast, Spotify, or on Apple Podcasts. But for now, thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.